Let me encourage you to keep your Bibles open there, if you have them open, at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the first seven verses. That's where we're going to spend some time this morning in our study together. We had originally, at least my thinking was, we would present the ideas of giving and planning for our budget on January the 8th, but Brother Dwight's idea was that we needed to present it this time toward the end of the year so that with the Lord's blessings, we can begin to plan for the new year. And I think Brother Dwight is right in that assessment. So we're going to do that today. And then I will also, in the preacher's absences, they'll be on vacation for the next couple of weeks. So I'll be bringing a few more Sunday morning lessons, and I trust that's acceptable to everyone. As a result, I want to give you the title for our upcoming study and lesson on Christmas Eve. We're going to look at Jesus as the fulfillment of prophecies. I think that'll be a very appropriate lesson and give us an opportunity to teach from God's Word to those who are visiting with us. Maybe it does have a seasonal tinge to it, but it seems to me that's very appropriate in light of what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, that he sought to become all things to all people, that he may win some to Christ. Now, Paul in that passage didn't say he did something wrong. He didn't say he disobeyed God's word. He didn't say he sinned in some way in order to win a person or to point a person toward Christ. Paul was very wise in establishing the common ground, in building bridges, in building relationships. And so we need to appreciate his counsel, his teaching, and his guidance here in becoming all things to all people in the sense that we identify with them, understand the challenges to some extent that they face, that they confront, and in doing so, we listen to their needs. And then that presents an opportunity for us to share the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at our financial planning and going forward, we've titled our study this morning, The Seasons of Giving. Now, out here, what do kiddos like the most and what is that they want? Generally, kids like two things. They like ice cream. I don't know, maybe I better include myself there too. And they also like presents. They like both of those things. Partly that's what it means to be a kid, and rightfully so. Thus, we talk about this as a season of giving. But really, for the Christian, it is seasons of giving. So giving to the Lord doesn't start and stop with Christmas. Just doesn't do that. That we need to have a mind of giving to the Lord, both of our time, in addition to our resources, as well as our financial side. So the Lord is looking for us to provide these things that he's entrusted to us to further the work of his kingdom. And in a very real way, therefore, our church budget, the fulfillment, the completion of it, rests on the condition of our spiritual condition inside our hearts. And Jesus is very wise in looking into our hearts and knowing what's there. And thus he gives us this teaching that wherever your treasure is, I'll find your heart. And it's so true. It's so true. And as we look at this, one of the things the Bible, without any hesitation, makes abundantly clear is that our God is a giving God, and he is motivated by love. And thus, John is correct when he says in 1 John 4 and 8, if you do not have love, then you do not have God. For God is love. So there is within him, his personage, his existence, this desire to share and to give and to provide his power available to us. That's his nature. And if we're going to truly understand him in the way that he is, he gives. So Glenn did score for us, at least, mark out the beginning of what we're going to share together today. And so we see that God so loved the world, what did he do? He didn't keep. He didn't hide. He didn't squirrel away somewhere. Rather, he powerfully gave. So love and giving are clearly related. What's beautiful, furthermore, is son like father in this instance. And Glenn mentioned this, that Jesus came to minister. He came to meet spiritual needs. I believe he also came to help us to see the importance of meeting physical needs. Not that they supersede spiritual needs, but the master was wise here. He knew that if you fed somebody, they would probably listen a little better. And so he fed the 5,000. And they listened. And he taught them. Similarly, he was teaching that he did not come to be served. He came to give his life as a ransom and to serve. So he provides for us, without question, this spiritual model or benchmark of what it means to give of yourself and to share the gifts, particularly that God has bestowed upon you. Now, there's some beautiful verses here in Hebrews that earmark how Jesus was a giver, not a taker and not a keeper, but he was a giver. And I would encourage you to look at these passages. Turn with me. We'll just highlight a couple of thoughts out of each of them here in the book of Hebrews, which describes in great detail the majesty, the marvelousness, and the magnitude of the work of Christ. Jesus is the focal point. Consequently, we see here that since we have a high priest who has gone into heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way that we have. So Jesus understands our nature. He was in that nature. And then we can see here that even though he were a son in Hebrews 5, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Again, giving of himself. And similarly on over to Hebrews chapter 9, that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. And moreover, we see that Jesus, again, highlighted by the Hebrew writer, gave of himself. So there's a lesson here for us. If we follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we're going to be givers. We're going to be willing to recognize that we are here to serve and we're not here not to serve. And that we are here to give and we're not here to hang on and keep. Whatever blessing the Lord gives you and me, it is for sharing. It is for giving. So God's people have always been, it seems to me, a giving people. And are we giving ourselves? That's a question we need to ask. And as a giving people, notice here what Paul writes about. And he gives us the matchless verse here. It seems to me in 2 Corinthians 8 and 5, he says they went beyond our expectations. I love that in the NIV. They gave beyond our expectations. We didn't expect them to give that much. We didn't anticipate them to give. We just didn't think it was possible. That's what he's saying. And what he is doing, he's sharing with the brethren at Corinth, southern Greece, about how the poorer brethren up in northern Greece gave beyond any expectations that could have possibly been anticipated. And so he says, the real key is that they didn't give for their own glory. They didn't give to get attention. They didn't give to please themselves. What they really did, the real motivator was, they gave themselves to God. They gave themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ first. Now, I believe, based on this passage, that is probably a challenge each of us face every day, one way or the other. How much am I going to keep from me, and how much will I commit to the Lord? How much will I give of myself to the Lord? Will He be first? Will He be second? And I'm reminded here of the passage in Matthew, chapter 22. And here the Lord Himself is speaking, and He makes it very clear for us. There's no equivocation here. You can't sort of find some wiggle room, because Jesus uses all. He doesn't use partial. He doesn't use some. He doesn't say maybe. That you are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. And that second commandment is similar to it. That you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus commits us to sound doctrine and commits us also to sound practice. So we need to be grateful for Jesus' teachings here. And that's what it means to give yourself first. So the Macedonian brethren, northern Greece, they gave themselves to the Lord. Now, what this means to us particularly is that we need to ask ourselves the question, the slide that I had up there. Are we giving ourselves first to the Lord? They gave themselves. That was the foundation. That was the motivation. And if we look at this word give, and I had a slide in here, and what became of it in my fumbling around, I'm not sure. But if you look at this word give, I had it in the Koine Greek. And it's udokan from didomai. And udokan is very important, the tense of it, because it's aorist. And what the aorist tense means is not they gave and that's it. It means that they kept on giving themselves first to the Lord all the time. That's really how I would translate that. Because it's in the aorist tense, very important. Continuous action. Not one time, but all the time, every moment. That's how the Macedonian brethren in northern Greece, that's how they gave themselves first to the Lord. So as Christians, as I mentioned, we'll always have seasons of giving. And this is why the Apostle Paul, as he quotes the Master, he says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. We've been blessed so that we can help others, assist them, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus Himself. It is more blessed to give than to receive." So what are we going to do for 2018? I trust and I pray. And I might say here that we prayed over this long and hard in our all-day meeting last Sunday, almost all day. Seemed like it was all day. All afternoon anyway. I know when I got home, I was whooped out. I don't know about you, Brother Dwight. I'm younger than you, but I still felt it. But it was a good day for us as elders and deacons and preachers to be together and to pray that the Lord blesses us with spiritual growth and numerical growth, and particularly that we encourage us as brothers and sisters to look for ways to give of ourselves more so in 2018 than we've done in 2017. We need to look back and thank the Lord for those opportunities to give nevertheless. So here we are. We're walking by faith. We're not walking by sight. We're reaching out to our neighborhood and to our community. I'm just so thankful. From my little corner of the world, from my heart, I am just so thankful to be associated with a group of God's people that believe in reaching out and going into the community. I'm just grateful for that. That is such a tremendous blessing, because in many religious groups, there's sort of a total 100% internal focus. Now, when I became a Christian, and I shared this in Bible study this morning, the churches of Christ, at the time I became a Christian, were the fastest growing religious group in America. Fastest growing. And the fellow that studied that was Dr. Donald McGavran, down at Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena. And he invited some of our brethren to come and share with his, quote, outreach course. And our brethren came in and said, here's what we're doing. This was a time when we had a lot of television. This was a time when we had people who were willing to share the gospel. Every one of us here as Christians should make a 2018 goal that we want to know how and learn how and become competent and capable enough to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus, on how to become a Christian. Every one of us here should be able to do that. If we've been a Christian for a year, we should be able to say, yes, I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. Let me show you, based on God's word, how to become a New Testament Christian. All of us should be able to do that. But there was a time when we had many brethren that could do that. So I'm grateful that we reach out. And with our breakfast with Santa, 120 people showed up. What a blessing. Now, Kieran, wasn't that a wonderful blessing? For your entire family. Kieran was here with his family. And then we did the trunk or treat. I saw mostly movie characters. I don't think I saw a devil one. There was none of that there. It was just a good family event. 120 there. So our community responds when we reach out to their children and when we reach out to families. And in the Lord's church, we want to be a family as well. So these outreach efforts, they're part of the annual budget. That's what I'm saying. $500, $600, $700 on each one. Seems to me it's money that's well spent. Well spent. As we've mentioned before, Alexander and Nicole's salaries, they come out of our weekly offering. Glenn and Sarah's, we have the school over here that pays us some lease money, rent. They're supported through that. So we have a dual use of the complex. As long as our needs are met spiritually and we can have ample space and capacity for our own children and our own spiritual needs, we can make it work. And we've had families that have helped us in the past. Here's one family, the Earl Hammer family, that helped us so that the only indebtedness that this church has is about $180,000 on one of the preacher's homes. That's all we got. Everything else is paid for. Free and clear. That's a blessing. And it's also a blessing because of the generosity of the brethren here. Now, we put together just this little overview so you can see where we've been the last few years. And notice over there the actual. Notice the actual. In the last 3 years, we have exceeded the weekly budget on average every week. And that's because the brethren here have committed themselves to giving themselves and of their financial resources and their time, give this to the Lord. You've first given yourself, and we're grateful for that. I know I can speak for both Dwight and I on this point. We're glad we don't have to worry about making a budget. As elders, candidly, we don't need that worry. Our deacons don't either, but we don't. Why? So that we can focus on spiritual needs. That's why we're here as elders. That's our goal. That's our purpose. That's what we love to do. That's what we want to do. And so it's very meaningful to us to say the brethren will take care of this financial side. We want to do our best that God blesses us so that we can pray and meet the needs of the brothers and sisters here and the needs of those in the community as God gives us the wisdom and the sight to do this. So we do have a goal. It's a big goal. When and if we hit $49.90, that'll take care of Glenn's salary totally. Bring him aboard. And we wouldn't have to depend, as it were, on the money from the lease arrangement. But we're grateful for that because it enables us to do things that we might not have been able to do otherwise. We've completed some major projects, as you've seen, and these are things that needed to have been done. And we're looking for some other projects that need to be completed, accomplished as well in 2018. You've heard us talk about these things. They are on the top of the stove, and they're getting attention. And this is where we're headed for the year of 2018. We'd like to certainly be able to get at least four of these, the first four. If we could get those done, it would be a wonderful year. And we've got our brothers and sisters working on this, and I'll share that in just a moment. We need an emergency fund. We had one, we still have one, and we needed it year before last during the summer when our main unit up here, AC, heating and everything, it wore out. It wouldn't work. So we had that reserve fund there, and we were able to take care of things. So we are having the wonderful challenge of establishing for our future brothers and sisters here the platform, if you will, the base of operations, of spiritual operations, so that they will have a fully workable, functioning facility from which to spread and communicate the Word of God. That's Dwight and I's vision in looking at these things. So what does that mean? Well, it means several things. We have a place where we can do good deeds that make a difference. We'll have a place for teaching God's Word. That's so important. And we'll have a location that we can meet needs, alleviate suffering, and a place where we can serve the spiritual needs of our community. That's what we're about, to share the good news of Jesus. So if we give, the Lord will continue to bless us. And I trust that this is appropriate. I wish all of you had a spiritual Fitbit. Now, who knows what a Fitbit is? Everybody knows what a Fitbit is? Now, I asked Brother Dale. Dale, show him your Fitbit. There's a Fitbit right there. If you're wondering what that is. Okay. Well, I didn't get too many takers on that. Can everybody hold up their smartphone? Okay, now, I knew that would work. Now, I'm afraid to do that because if you hold up your smartphone, I need you to come back. I'm afraid to do that. Usually when people get that smartphone in their hand, you don't see them anymore. That happens. I was hesitant to say that. That's why I went with the Fitbit. But wouldn't it be wonderful at the end of the day, I have on my spiritual Fitbit, and I can look at it, and it says, Doug, here are all the verses that you obeyed. And Doug, here are all the verses you disobeyed. I'm not sure I'd like that one. But here are all of the occasions and opportunities where you gave of yourself. Here are the places where you could have given, but you didn't give. So take your Fitbit, take your smartphone. That smartphone doesn't belong to you. Take that, take your wallet. Put it on top of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. Pray about that. Pray that the Lord will help you to give more of your resources, more of your time, more of your energy, that you'll give those to His work. We need to do that. Pray about that. and think about what the Lord has given to us. That's what these Macedonians realized. Everything they had in the first place all belonged to God anyway. So we might as well thank Him, and we might as well give of the resources He's entrusted to us. Belongs to Him. They came to that realization. They understood that. And so our budget will increase about $100 a week. And we're very confident the brethren will meet that. And as you can see from the slide a while back, we've exceeded our budget happily over the last 3-4 years. There's a trend there. So take those things and put them on top of 2 Corinthians 5 and 8. They belong to the Lord. And it doesn't make any difference which kind of a smartphone you have. It could be an Apple. We live here in Silicon Valley, so I got to make sure I mention every one of them. It could be a Google. It could be a Samsung. It doesn't make any difference who made it. Once it's in your hands, as a Christian, it belongs to the Lord. It's not yours. Nothing we have belongs to us. All belongs to the Lord. And He wants us to use it wisely. So here we go. We have many brethren that help the church in terms of our finances. And we probably, Dwight and I probably can't say enough about Russ and Sherry. I'll just be straight out about it. They do a wonderful job. Brother Dale Wilhite's done a marvelous job in looking after the campus and helping us to think ahead, do some forward thinking. Brother Jason does a good job with educational resources. So we have many brothers and sisters that do such good work, and we're grateful for that. You're giving of what the Lord has given to you. And this is what, therefore, our attitude should be before the Lord. We don't have all the answers. Only the Lord does. And only the Lord can provide the guidance from His Word that we truly need. So we ask and solicit the entire leadership team. We ask for your prayers. Bless us with wisdom, brethren, so that we do the right thing in the right way at the right time. So as we have opportunity, we want to do good to all people, especially those in the household of faith. So we can see that this should be our prayer for 2018. That's our prayer right there. And we need to do this too. We need to keep in mind that if we sow sparingly, we will reap sparingly. That's a spiritual principle. I didn't make that up. That comes right out of what the Apostle Paul says in the next chapter over. And so what is our spiritual practice and teaching? Our spiritual practice and teaching is that we prepare and that we have a plan. And that's why we're here this morning for 2018 to do the Lord's will. And what this means to me is this, that it is always more prudent to prepare than to predict. Now, we made a little prediction here, so maybe I violated that to some extent. When I said, I'm confident, we're confident the brethren will meet the challenge. We know you will. But the main thing here is that people have been trying to predict when the Lord's going to come for centuries, and every time they've been wrong. And they're still trying. So we're not into the prediction business as such. Rather, we are in the preparation business. We're here to prepare each other to serve more fully in 2018 in the cause of Christ. We want to prepare ourselves to do that. And so look at this beautiful verse, this golden nugget that comes out of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. We want to have a spiritual mindset to give. Give, and the Lord will give to us. It's not, I want to get more from Him. It's not that kind of giving. It's the wrong attitude. Give ourselves, and a prepared people always know how to give, because they've first given themselves to the Lord. So we will ask the question in summary. Have you given yourself to the Lord? If you haven't, there's an easy process, some easy steps to follow. You need to, first of all, just believe that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. That's very critical. I heard some people this week, he's a good prophet. He's another good prophet. Well, he's not another good prophet. He is the prophet. Let's be clear on that. You'll need to repent of your sins. Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. You need to confess your sins. That's tough, I know. But we need to have a confessional attitude before the Father. And that means when we go to the Heavenly Father in prayer to our God, we need to be willing to confess and acknowledge those areas where we need His help to be spiritually invigorated and become stronger. We need to put Christ on in baptism by immersion for the remission of our sins, and probably the most important step, seems to me, is this last one. Live faithfully and loyally to Him all the days of your life. We encourage you to come. Whatever your spiritual need, this church is here to serve. And Jesus is the center of it. And His Word and the teachings of God's Word is, in a very real way, the constitution of it. We go by the Word of God. Come now as we together stand and sing.